You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I miss Ron Cook every single minute. That's a lie, no matter how I spin it. Am I on the air limits?
Yeah, I think you knew that.
Yeah, I did. Are you still reeling over getting fooled on the internet? Tell everybody what happened and how you're feeling.
So I got by fake Adam Schefter, and I feel like Ron when he saw, oh my gosh, Adam Schefter, a trade. The Steelers have traded Levi Wallace to the Bears for...
Do we have that clip? Look for that clip and then tell us your story.
So my story is... My story is that I saw Adam Schefter and had 2 million engagements, and I didn't see the little one as an L in Schefter from this report that said Andy Reid said that DeAndre Hopkins is retiring. Which, after hearing Xavier Worthy say DeAndre Hopkins is probably not going to be here next year, I took that as, he's just retiring. He's not coming back. DeAndre Hopkins disputed that claim and said that it's not true. He doesn't know where that came from, and...
Is the emotion
a false report?
Is the emotion you're feeling anger toward yourself, anger toward the report, embarrassment, or
yes,
embarrassment?
All the above.
You don't deserve that.
All the above.
This happens to everybody.
This is the first time it's happened to me on the
show.
There
you go.
The first time.
It's one time. It's okay. Nobody cares that much. It'll all be forgotten by tomorrow.
And
Ron lived with that, I think, for a decade.
For decades. He's still living with it right now.
When he made a mistake, it was like, Ron, it's okay. He said something about Dave Parker one day that was erroneous, and he just couldn't let it go.
And now I supposedly I misspoke on my stat about the Super Bowl, that one team has had a pick six and lost the Super Bowl. Every other team that has had a pick six won, and it was the Falcons. And people are coming at me on the text line saying James Harrison had a pick six.
Yes,
of course.
They won the game.
Only one team lost.
You didn't misspeak there. Your question was clear.
Now I'm questioning myself. Now I'm going to go into a
rabbit hole. There was one pick six in a losing effort in Super Bowl history. That was the Falcons. You were right about that.
If Punxsutawney Phil has any more room underground in that hole, I will join him there, and I will stay there under a rock for a couple of days.
Don't worry about it. We forge ahead, and we forge ahead with some very interesting little NFL notes here. Wow. Why don't we start with Patrick Peterson, who, remember, just last season was on the Steelers. And he's in the locker room. He's in the meetings every day. This is what he had to say about the state of the Steelers' offense.
This was on the All Facts, No Breaks podcast.
No, I don't think so. Just because how they were able to operate with Justin Field last year. I mean, he was solid, but he wasn't anything that made anyone scared. And I feel like Pittsburgh needs to shake up the offensive style a little bit. It's still back, you know, the way they're calling plays still in the 90s. You know what I mean? Now you want to be a little bit more innovative, you know, with, I won't necessarily say trick plays, but have a little bit more spice in your offense. Yeah. A little bit more, you know, eye candy, having some motions, having some shifts and things like that to be able to get
too bland.
Yeah, get your playmakers involved in the game. So I don't think either one of those quarterbacks is the long-term solution, because Russell is what, going into year 14.
Yeah.
And like I said, it really looks like they don't really trust to give Justin Fields the keys fully.
There's a lot there. First of all, what playmakers is what I would say. George Pickens tops the list, and you're never quite sure if he's trying or engaged in the game, which is problematic. I don't know that they have an overabundance of playmakers, but I do hear what he's saying, and that's pretty indicting to call this offense stuck in the 90s is basically what he said.
Stuck in the 90s.
Stuck in the 90s.
Man, that Neil O'Donnell offense, they were humming in 95, go to the Super Bowl before all the picks.
This idea that Arthur Smith, that's being propagated, is that the right word?
Yeah.
That he did a good job this year, it to me is insane. In spite of the quarterbacks, in spite of this, in spite of that, they became the first team. You think Matt Canada didn't have problems at the quarterback position? In some ways, the end of this year was worse than Canada ever with the Steelers. Arthur Smith went five straight games, including the playoff game, without eclipsing 17 points. That's the first time that's happened to the Steelers since Chuck Knoll was here. So please don't tell me that Arthur Smith did some great job working around all the issues this year. And if you do believe that, what an indictment of their draft process. I mean, they have a first-round draft pick at running back, second-round pick at tight end, second-round pick as one of their receivers, and all kinds of high picks along the offensive line. This is a disaster.
November 2nd was the last time, Joe, that the Steelers scored an opening drive touchdown.
They didn't score an opening drive touchdown all year.
No, not this year. November 2nd, 2023. 2023.
You're reeling right now, Limits. You're slumping right now. Now you're mad at me.
No, I'm not mad.
I know.
I'm holding myself accountable.
You're hurt by the DeAndre Hopkins.
November 2nd,
2023.
Was the last time.
Arthur Smith had the worst first down offense, one of the worst fourth down offenses. As I always say, that only leaves second and third down, and they weren't very good there either. His best thinking had him on a night when Russell was actually really hot in Cleveland, playing great in the second half. Arthur Smith's best thinking had him putting a frozen Justin Fields in the game and trying a long pass down the right sidelines. Get out of here with the Arthur Smith did a good job stuff, please. And by the way, while I'm on that rant, let me get back into this Tomlin Coach of the Year stuff. May I, Limits?
Do it.
Can I find it? The Tomlin Coach of the Year stuff. Michael Silver had Tomlin third in Coach of the Year. Will you please tell me how that makes sense? Go ahead. Make a case for Tomlin third in the NFL.
I can't, but the best way that I would put it is that Michael Silver saw the Steelers go 10-3, and he's a Bay Area native. So maybe when the 49ers season completely collapsed in on itself, and everybody was hurt and they fell apart down the stretch, maybe Michael Silver turned off his TV and didn't watch the NFL for the final month because the 49ers were playing bad. He's a very good reporter. But maybe he just didn't see what was going on with the Steelers in the NFL. And 10-3 sounds pretty good. Tomlin did a good job. It was Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson's fault.
Was it that none of these voters knew that their votes would be revealed, so they would sneak in votes for people? They each get to vote for first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. Somebody out there tell me, like I can't even play devil's advocate on how Tomlin did one of the five best jobs, not let alone three. The Steelers were at 8.5. They did eclipse their win total by 1.5 wins. They also had a historic collapse down the stretch and blew a divisional lead and made the playoffs in the end by one game. So I'm looking at these. Lindsey Jones has Kevin O'Connell, Dan Campbell, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin, and Jim Harbaugh. So I would ask her, on what planet did Did Mike Tomlin do a better coaching job than Dan Quinn? And why are there so many people who left Quinn off their list? He seems like a likable guy.
Yeah.
And he took a 3-14 team with a rookie quarterback, and they had a hell of a year. What are we doing here?
I wonder if the lull that they had in the middle of the year, that's what is kind of surprising to me about this whole entire thing, Joe. Like, it seems like the end of the season has been somewhat devalued in some of these voting metrics. Like,
they made up their minds early, and that was that.
Like, maybe that was the case with Myles Garrett last year. If that was the case, TJ Watt should have won it this year. But, I mean, Washington had a good win against Philadelphia. I know Jalen Hurts was banged up. They had a really good close to the season. So,
Mike Silver has Kevin O'Connell, Dan Campbell, Mike Tomlin. I'm almost speechless. What is, I'd love to have him on the show. See if you can locate him. What in the world is the argument that Mike Tomlin did a better job than Dan Quinn, Sean Payton, Andy Reid, the guy who won the AFC North? Where? What? What are we talking about? I can't believe it. I really can't. Tony Dungy, Kevin O'Connell, Jim Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, Dan Campbell, Sean Payton. How did Mike Tomlin do a better job than Dan Campbell? More with less? He did less with less. How is Dan Quinn not on Tony Dungy's five top candidates? Tony, what are you doing? The guy was they were 3-14 last year. Deontay Lee, Mike Tomlin third behind O'Connell and Harbaugh, ahead of Campbell and Payton. No Dan Quinn, no Andy Reid. I mean, there's plenty of others too. Sean McDermott, Matt LaFleur. They hung around pretty nicely despite some major issues there, if that's the idea behind voting for this. Who else had Tomlin on here? I don't get it. There's just such a divide, national media to local media, and still exists, judging by this. I don't get it. I'm sorry. Tom Silverstein, Campbell, O'Connell, Quinn, McVay, and Tomlin. Tomlin did one of the five best coaching jobs in all of football this year. Do you understand it, Limits? I don't.
I don't at all. I really don't understand it whatsoever. Like, 10-3 looked great. There's no denying that. But the old saying that it's not how you start, it's how you finish, matters for a reason.
Just give me the final record and the circumstances. I get it. He had two quarterbacks. He had one that he was 4-2. He chose to change, got wildly praised for it, and in the end had people questioning whether it was the right move. His team fell apart. How many coaches in history can say they got votes for coach of the year in a year where their team fell apart? I'll pick a guy in every division who did a better job than Tomlin. Sean McDermott went 13-4, despite the fact they came back with no receivers. People thought they were going to have a sort of step back year in Buffalo. He goes 13-4. John Harbaugh won the division in Baltimore, overcame an 0-2 start, went 12-5, and beat the Steelers when it counted. But the other guy did a better job? D'Amico Ryans went 10-7. Yeah, they were supposed to be better. You could look at it as underachieving, but they won the division. They looked better at the start than they did at the beginning. Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton all did better jobs than Tomlin. Nick Sirianni, Dan Quinn both did better jobs than Tomlin. Kevin O'Connell, Dan Campbell, and Matt LaFleur all did better jobs than Tomlin. Sean McVay did a better job than Tomlin. Who's ever coaching the Seahawks did just as good a job. They went 10-7 last I checked.
McDonald, the old defensive coordinator
with
the Ravens.
Mike McDonald. Todd Bowles won a division 10-7 with the Bucs. Lost a great receiver, lost some other guy. It's ridiculous. What are we doing? How does he get coach of the year votes? Have I lost my mind?
No. And Ben Roethlisberger James Harrison and others even come out and criticize and critique Mike Tomlin. Ramon Foster saying if there was any time to do it, it would be now. But yet that's coach of the year worthy when some of Tomlin's best former players are questioning him or questioning his judgment or questioning the direction of the program. Like, I don't know how much of a bigger indictment you can get than that. And yet he should be coach of the year candidate.
Here's a little, now look at this crap. Colin Cowherd talking about, and I don't know what his opinion is, I just see the question on the screen. Will the Super Bowl performance impact Mahomes' legacy? I mean, yeah, he could have been the only guy to win three in a row, but if the insinuation there is there's some, like, you know, blight on his resume now, he made it to the Super Bowl again. He had a bad game. I think he's won three of them, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, three.
So I look at it kind of like Jack Nicklaus finishing second at the Masters just a ridiculous amount of times. That doesn't hurt his resume. That enhances it.
Well, if he would have won that Super Bowl, I think the GOAT debate becomes a real conversation with him and Brady. And now it seems like anytime Brady's in the building, whether he's beating him at 42 with Tampa or he's calling the game and Mahomes is running around for his life, the ghost of Tom Brady is still in effect if Patrick Mahomes is in the building.
That's true. That is actually true. If he wins three in a row, he could. So how does it impact his legacy? Well, if he wins that game, he would have a legit argument over Brady. I concede the point to you there, Limits, and I'm also trying to make you feel good after the DeAndre Hopkins disaster.
I appreciate that.
I do concede that point. I just feel like, you know, it's almost like somebody like Dan Marino. The fact that he didn't win a Super Bowl, well, obviously that would have enhanced his resume. But does it hurt him that he never won one? Does it hurt the legacy? He's still one of the top five to eight quarterbacks ever, right?
Yeah, but you're talking about the greatest of all time. And when one guy has seven Super Bowls and with two different teams and Brady beat Mahomes, and just the longevity of 20-plus years. Brady won, what, two Super Bowls in his 40s? Maybe it was three?
Yeah.
Just incredible. I don't think anybody can ever reach it.
Incrinculant, some would say. I also saw a graphic today, the top 10 highest-paid receivers in the NFL, and how only four of them made the playoffs. Six of them missed. I don't know that I read too much into that. If the implication there is that you don't need to have, you know, a $30 million receiver, I ain't buying it, because A.J. Brown's $32 million, and he was pretty critical to that team winning. St. Brown is at $30 million, fourth overall. They were a number one seed. Justin Jefferson, everybody picked that guy as the coach of the year, not Justin Jefferson, but his coach. They had a great year. He's the highest paid receiver in football, $35 million. Seems to me that high-paid receivers kind of help you. Brandon Ayuk didn't play, so you can't really include him. And then the Dolphins are stupid. You know, they signed Waddle to $28 million after they already had Tyreek Hill. Those are two others. And then the Jets are a joke. So I'm not reading anything into that. CD Lamb is second at $34 million. I'd still love to have CD Lamb, even at $34 million. I think receivers are game changers myself. Limits, that graphic does not sway me in any other direction.
I personally think that the Steelers need to do everything possible to draft an offensive weapon, whether it's a receiver or Tyler Warren, or, you know, I wouldn't go running back, but a receiver that can make a high impact in the first round, because it's a deep defensive tackle draft, and they'd be derelict of duty if they did not go out there and get an offensive piece, which is how they've neglected offensive weapons and only paying $48 million on offense this year.
Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And we have a treat coming up here. Ron Cook may make an appearance, not an appearance, but somehow via video maybe. Can we get Ron for this? It's the Fan's 15-year anniversary, February 26th at Rivers Casino. All of us will be on site, telling stories of the past 15 years, videos from former hosts and guests. There you go. Maybe we get Vinny on a video. What if Ron and Vinny could do a segment on video on a sports topic? Would that be tremendous?
What would they talk about?
Anything.
Would they just riff about their past grievances with each other?
Yes, I think it would be wonderful. Vendor booths, of course, You can meet and mingle with all of us. The event is free, but you need a ticket to get in. So check out 937thefan.com on locations where you go to get tickets. The Fan's 15th Fanniversary is brought to you by Guardian Protection, IC Light, and Firehouse Subs at the Point, North Fayette. Did I do the text line yet, Limits?
Yes.
Did I do the hotline?
Yes.
I'm doing well so far, aren't I?
Yes, you are. On the right track.
There's another clip that I wanted to play. And this was from Marcus Spears, former NFL player. May we indulge in that one, Limits?
Yes, we may. From NFL Live on ESPN.
I wonder if Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers could coexist in Pittsburgh. And RC, you know that culture and situation better than me. And we've talked about it for a long time about how Pittsburgh's culture is what it is. And it's not going to change for any individual. And I wonder, I think Mike Tomlin has the stature to have conversations with Aaron Rodgers and not to actually meet him in the middle, but to have a working relationship until you can get this thing figured out, or if you think he can play at a high enough level for 1 or 2 years. You look at the run game in Pittsburgh, it can be pretty good. You look at the outside, obviously some more maturity with your star wide receiver, but could that be something that could be facilitated, and a defense that should get back to playing at a very high level? We've seen the little eye contact, the little back and forth between him and Mike Tomlin, and that just popped in my mind. What is that relationship really like? Have they had any interaction before? I'd be interested to see if Pittsburgh makes a play for A. Rodgers.
So would I. And that little bromance, Pomp brushed it off the other day. I thought it was always interesting. Even this year, there's that little back and forth with Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers. And man, I got asked a question in my intergalactically read Post-Gazette mailbag today, Limits, of, excuse me, but do the Steelers have a plan if neither Justin Fields or Russell Wilson comes back? What might that plan be?
I don't think they do right now. I don't. But Rodgers would be logical, and according to the odds makers,
he would be logical.
You like possible. Very good.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
Better than yours.
I didn't have one.
I know. I'd go for Aaron Rodgers. Would you?
Yes. And part of it is,
I'm not saying, let me clarify there. I'm not saying that I think that Aaron Rodgers is very good at this point in his career, or that I would necessarily choose him over even Justin Fields. But given their predicament, it might be the best solution just to see if he can still play a little bit. Like, if they don't get Fields or Wilson, who's got a better solution? Tell me.
Sam Darnold? But I don't know if he would fit with the Arthur Smith scheme. What is the Arthur Smith scheme? Do we even know it?
Is Sam Darnold going back to Minnesota or no?
Probably. Kevin O'Connell said some things right around Super Bowl time that makes it seem likely that Darnold will return.
So where do you go if not? And if they're screwing up the Fields thing right now by still flirting with Wilson, are they doing themselves a disservice? For me, I think I would have made it clear that Fields is my guy. And if that means paying a little extra for him, then pay a little extra.
$15 million, maybe 20 tops. Spotrac rejects $7
million. No. $20 million for Justin Fields?
There's going to be a market for him.
I'll be honest with you. What I said yesterday is still how I feel. The best thing for this franchise would be to take a step back next year intentionally. That doesn't mean you ask Tomlin and the players, of course, obviously, to not give their best. So if Mike, if you trade TJ, trade Minka, trade Pickens, and get a mediocre quarterback in here in an effort to take a step back, and Mike Tomlin overcomes all that, God bless him. But if I'm Art Rooney, I'm taking a step back this year. It's just time.
What makes you think that they need to trade Pickens and trade Watt for that step to be taken back, considering what happened over the last five games?
Well, part of taking a step back is to recoup assets and set yourself up moving forward, perhaps to get that franchise quarterback, and especially TJ could put you in a position where you can either parlay picks or use the picks you get for him to do that when the draft comes to Pittsburgh. Limits. Limits!
According to DraftKings, the Steelers have the best odds, 2-1 odds, for Aaron Rodgers. Next up is the Raiders.
Wait,
3-1. The best odds, the Steelers. 2-1. 2-1!
And here's the reason I won't laugh at that, and nobody should. All of Pittsburgh media lost their laugh at the Steelers quarterback situation card last year. and really the Kenny Pickett year, because almost nobody, once it was reported that they wouldn't take Pickett, thought they would, and absolutely nobody thought that they were going to bring in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. So nobody has a right to scoff at that, at those odds, or at any report that comes out suggesting Tomlin might be interested in Rodgers. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, by the way, if it happened. Would you?
No. At this rate, no.
How could you be?
Because, I mean, nothing at this point would surprise me, because the aggression that Omar Khan has shown, whether it be in free agency or in trades, has made me think that this is a possibility. And if Fields wants to go, and they don't feel good enough about Fields where they're on the fence, and he sees that, and he doesn't want to be a part of, like, being the second option, like, if it's Wilson, and that just has completely fallen short, and maybe Fields does think that. Like, I was the second pick for you. You signed Russell Wilson first. You traded for me second. You put me in first, and then I ended up being the second guy because you thought Wilson was better, and you put him in, and I had to ride the bench and watch for the rest of the year.
And you know your guys are talking to their guys, like, if you're Justin Fields, it happens all over the league.
Yeah.
Back channels, would I be the starter in Vegas? You know, would that be possible? There's a chance Justin Fields is out of here.
My prediction is that if he leaves the Steelers, Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints with Kellen Moore running a similar offense like Jalen Hurts. It just makes sense.
Holy horse milk. Then who's the Steelers quarterback? You got a prediction for that?
Not at the moment. It's Fields, but if it's not Fields, the rest of the field...
Carson Wentz?
No. Carson Wentz?
I'm kidding.
Any other backups? Marcus Mariota, Tommy DeVito, you want to bring in here?
Yeah, Tommy DeVito, I want to bring in. Of course not Carson Wentz. But who else? Who, like that person asked me in the mailbag, who else?
Kirk Cousins?
Which is why they may wind up, now that I think about it, bringing back Russell Wilson. It may be just a marriage of desperation. I can't find anybody else to marry me. Okay, I'll marry you.
It's that if we're not married by 40, we'll just marry each other.
Don't
you
say
pack
that
you make
I
with
got
your friends.
Married at 41.
You never heard of that before?
Yes.
If you're married, if you and
just
a friend
insulted
are,
me.
I'm sorry, I didn't know. My dad was married late too.
come up with the best answers.
That's true. My dad was like 39 when he got married.
I know age doesn't necessarily convey desperation, but the although it may have, now that I think about it, I don't know.
He
I don't know.
He was 37, yeah.
But if you have nobody, if there's nobody else out there and it's getting late, you're like, okay, you know, it reminds me of some of the Penguins practices and hiring coaches back at the turn of the century. That's why Russell Wilson, I just said it out loud to myself and it made sense. That's why Russell Wilson might wind up back here, is because if Justin Fields has better options and thinks he wants to leave, then what the hell else are you going to do?
The only thing that I could realistically think of as a possibility is if they try to trade for a younger quarterback like Trey Lance, which, I mean, at this point might just end up being a free agent and getting cut from Dallas. Or could there be, there's a surprise every year where a quarterback becomes available. Could there be a team that gets completely frustrated with their guy and wants to move
maybe
off of them? Kyler Murray would be the only realistic
Kyler
one.
Kyler Murray, maybe. Matthew Stafford, that situation may not resolve itself. Who knows? You're right about that, though. Somebody usually becomes available. But Aaron Rodgers is quite intriguing. I also love the blow-up factor. Like, if it didn't work, it would not work to catastrophic proportions, which might be interesting to watch and might be the best thing for them.
Our friend Fansville on Twitter comments and says, Derek Carr, who I have absolutely no interest in being the Steelers quarterback.
Derek Carr is better than Justin Fields.
Derek Carr has also been pretty mediocre for a long time, and that would keep the Steelers in the exact same spot that they've been.
Is he better than Russell Wilson? Yeah, of course. So
I don't know. I don't think
so.
He is.
Who wouldn't limits? Tell me who would take the Steelers up a level from that. I'd be curious to hear.
Fields is probably the best option out of all of them.
He ain't taking the Steelers to.
No, none of them are great. None of them are taking the Steelers to the promised land.
You scoff at Derek Carr. What are you scoffing at?
I feel like Derek Carr would be right in that range of 9-8, regardless.
Yes, he would. Exactly.
And Fields maybe 10-7, which I'd rather take a chance on Aaron Rodgers being fun, being quirky, being entertaining.
So would
I. And if they're bad, great. Fine.
Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com says the Steelers' training camp slowed them down by the middle end of the year. He said they look like a dead-legged team. They look tired and exhausted, which to me is reason to at least consider studying practices in terms of how aggressive you want to go in training camp. Now, I'm looking at this on Steelers Depot, where they bring up the Patrick Queen quote from camp, where he said it's kind of crazy to tackle at practice. Rookie Peyton Wilson, as they said on Depot, meant this in a positive way, but he did say it's like a whole season worth of tackling at training camp. I mean, I think there's something to this, actually. And plus, there were lots of injuries. I don't know which ones to pin. You know, Tomlin himself, as he talked around every single issue at his season-closing news conference, made sure to say, hey, we'll be looking at our medical staff or our training staff, whatever it is, because we had a lot of soft tissue injuries. How about him throwing that detail in there? I wouldn't want to be one of those guys right now.
Would you? It doesn't seem like they're going anywhere.
But was it them? Was it bad luck? Or was it part overexerting his team in camp and in practice? I don't know. I think it's a very fair question that Daniel Jeremiah has raised.
Well, we know that they run very physical, tough practices for as many as they can have under the collective bargaining agreement.
He's talking specifically about camp, and I think he has a point. And when one of your players said it felt like a whole season worth of tackling, I don't think it's the way to go. Maybe they got off to a nice start, but the finish didn't go so well.
No. And, I mean, if they had to change it up in camp and just go, for the most part, football in shorts, how much will that significantly change? I don't know.
I think it's at least something to explore.